Welcome to Family Guidons, the podcast created by military spouses for military families.
We're the ones holding down the home front during deployments, state activations, and everything in between.
Here we have an honest conversation about the realities of military life, the highs, the hard moments, and the strength it takes to keep moving forward.
Whether you're new to the military community or a seasoned spouse who's seen it all,
Family Guidons is your place for connection, support, and real conversations.
Because no one understands life like the ones who've been living it beside them.
This is Family Guidons. Fall in.
Welcome back to Family Guidons. Today's episode is a continuation of a previous episode, Stars, Stripes, and Service, where we took a look at patriotism. In terms of this podcast, Stars, Stripes, and Service, we're going to look at volunteering and how that can play into patriotism, but we're specifically going to talk about and have guests to talk to us about volunteering with the family programs for both the Army and the Air side of the National Guard. I am Charlotte Stillwell. I'm a military spouse of 31 years. I am a military mom to a son who is currently serving on active duty at Fort Stewart. I'm also a Gold Star child. My father was killed in Vietnam when I was 20 months old.
And I'm Kathy Bridgers. I have a daughter and a son, and I've been a military spouse for almost 30 years and a military mother for 9 years, as I have a son who's deployed right now. And we would like to talk about how important it is, has it been for our history, for to have volunteers along the way, and how important it is moving forward to have volunteers. And Michelle Matheny is not here with us today. She's got her hands full with summertime fun with her kids. So we're going to try to continue forward without our fearless leader and talk about volunteerism.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, we did talk about patriotism in the last episode. And I think it's just important to note that with our country's 250th birthday just right around the corner, or actually at this point, it will have just passed by the time this airs. I think it's important to note that our nation has endured because millions of servicemen and women have chosen to serve something greater than themselves, and so have their families. They've chosen to be a part of this lifestyle, and they have sustained a life for our service members. And it's important for us also to think there are additional ways that we can contribute, and that is by helping out with our servicemen and women's roles in the military. Today, as I said earlier, we are going to be talking to the family programs directors for both the Air and the Army National Guard. Mr. Dan Contreras is the family programs manager for the Army National Guard, and he is here to talk with us about Army family programs. The family programs are to help those affected by an event that need crisis or grief support. They ensure that any soldier or family issues are referred to proper resources. They provide non-medical, short-term, solution-focused counseling services to military individuals. They help families who are in need of financial assistance. They provide resources for things like education, relocation, parenting, stress, and they facilitate training, readiness, and resilience programs for military youth. All right. Dan, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for the invite.
Welcome.
Absolutely. So I just for our listeners, just did like a brief overview of some of the things that Family Programs does. I'm sure there's a whole lot more, and it's a lot more detailed than what I just said. So can you tell us who you are and what it is that your office does?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Daniel Contreras. I'm the director for Military and Family Readiness Program. The program is made up of four branches. It is our military and family readiness on department. They're the ones focused on, which mentioned earlier, those services to service members, families, and even partnering with our communities. Mm-hmm. Our Child and Youth Program branch falls under our directorate. Mm-hmm. Our coordinators are working with the teens and teen camp. And then we have financial services or a personal finance counselor branch that works with our service members and our families for financial readiness, financial literacy. And then finally, we partner with Military OneSource. They're the online resource for counseling, financial services, community services. So they're a broader, wider range of services that are at the hands of the service member and the family, even in our community, our communities, with all their online resources.
So two areas there. We just, the last episode, talked with Lindsay Robertson, the volunteer for teens that won the regional award.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I have to say, what an outstanding young lady she is.
Yes, ma'am.
But also just knowing what y'all do with the teen and youth program, just from my own children having been through some of the programs, y'all do a fantastic job. Very proud of what South Carolina does. The other part of that is just in my role as being the Adjutant General's spouse, I go to some seminars and I learn about various things, and I've just discovered Military OneSource and what a huge organization that is. So I know that's a big moving part as far as your office goes.
Yes, ma'am. I think everyone, when we say Military OneSource, they're familiar with the tax during tax season.
Right.
They have the applications and the resources for our service members and their families to take advantage of free online tax services. Mm-hmm. So I think that's
huge.
Yes, ma'am. That's very huge. And all services from that program are free to our service members and our families.
Mm-hmm. It's really quite amazing, but as far as your four areas, y'all cover a lot.
Mm-hmm. We do cover a lot. Our essential, so like I said, there are the program is broken up into five domains. Deployment, support, stability. And that's kind of where you see us there with the yellow ribbon. Our family reps are reaching out to our service members while they're deployed. Care packages is kind of what everyone thinks of when we're reaching out to the service members when we're deployed. But our families. Our family reps are reaching out to our families. And that could be from spouses to our children to even mom and dad who have their service member deployed.
That's really nice.
Yes, ma'am.
As a parent, I can say that's really nice.
Yes, ma'am.
So you mentioned Yellow Ribbon, the Yellow Ribbon events, and I know, you know, having been around for 31 years as a spouse, I know that some of that has changed over time.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you talk about that evolution and how, I don't know, it's evolved with the current times?
Yes, ma'am. When I deployed, I'm still currently a service member myself. My first early on deployments, a yellow ribbon, it was extensive. It brought in the service member and a family member, and it was about integration. It was about integration into a deployment cycle, into the service member and the family about to deal with deployment. And then when they redeployed or came home, it was by integrating the service member and the family back to normal life, back to non-deployed life. And so the program is still maintaining that basic core. And it's still, although it's downsized a bit, the actual Yellow Ribbon event I've seen recently downsized and not as extensive as it was before, but it is still providing that base core of information, informing the service members and family members of what to expect as they prepare for deployment, what to expect, and the resources available during deployment. And then when they return, that those resources and services are still available to them as they integrate back to regular civilian life, our citizen soldier life.
Right. So that remains the same. Have there been any challenges in terms of that evolution, in terms of connecting with family members? and trying to pull them in?
I think we're seeing the, you know, when service members deployed, and each deployment is different, each command is different, each family is different that deploys. Even though family members, service members are deployed multiple times, what the Yellow Ribbon intends to do is tailor that change from deployment to deployment, and I think that is probably the goal of the program, is it maintains its core value to integrate the service member and family member.
What about the need for volunteers?
Okay.
And do you have opportunities for, like, individuals versus groups or families?
Oh, absolutely. So within our military family readiness program, the volunteer or the SFRG program is the commander's program. By saying that is that, you know, according to regulation, the commander manages volunteers and the volunteer program at the unit level, at the lowest unit level. And the commanders lean on the military family rep at those units, or those reps are assigned to those units. They receive training, they receive assistance. The family rep is there for the commander and the appointed personnel that volunteer for the unit. And so, in the training, it provides the commander the parameters of using the volunteer program, the value of the volunteer program at the unit level. And so, yes, individuals can sign up and volunteer for a unit. And we have a range of spouses, children volunteering, obviously, with our child and youth program. We have a range of veterans that come back and volunteer with the unit, and as well as the people in the community. Go to the armory and help out, and as we partner and network with our community, you'll have community, the people in the community wanting to be part of our guard in our towns.
How do they do that? Like, what does that look like for a community member to get involved?
It matter just simply going to the armory, going to the local unit and say, hey, I'd like to volunteer. Mm-hmm. Where do you need help? Most of the time, the questioner probably started. I saw y'all had an event. You know, how could I help? Do y'all need help? And then, of course, our veterans come back and living in our community. Like, when I was at this unit, when I drilled here, or when I was in the guard, they're like, I'd like to give back. And so, it's as simple as it's just going to the unit, or even meeting with one of our family reps, and asking, hey, how can I volunteer? And our family reps will provide them the information to sign up and be a volunteer for a unit or units, or depending on the command, it could be a line unit, or it could be, a battalion or a brigade level volunteer.
Who do they contact to get that connection?
They will definitely can contact our military and family specialist rep or lead, Ms. Audra Harmon, and okay. She will provide the information needed. She will provide them the requirement to volunteer. If they're interested, she will provide them the training that's necessary. And it's all online. It's either online or can do in person, or even in a Zoom or Teams meeting, and provide them the information necessary to want to volunteer and do work, do good work down at the unit.
So, in stepping back, and since we talked about Audra just now, I know that Audra has mentioned things like, maybe a retiree showing up with coffee on a drill weekend, so volunteering can be as simple as that.
Yes, ma'am.
But also, I would think, more complex in terms of.
Absolutely. It can be as simple as it's coming over on Saturday morning and volunteers, mm-hmm. like, hey, I want to, contribute mm-hmm. to the unit in the smallest way, coffee, donuts.
Right.
Annually units have their family day. Mm-hmm. Volunteers are always needed and would, help make it a great, special family day for the unit. Then we also have our what's called statutory volunteers that are appointed by the commander to, during their period of appointment, assist the command in any of the events that anything that aids in getting the unit ready, and their goal is obviously readiness and preparedness. So our volunteers are our extension of our family reps. I didn't mention it already. We have 9 reps in 7 locations, but we have a lot of armories.
Right.
And so that volunteer extension of our family, of our family representatives, is where we use them, where they can work with us and partner with us with events that the units have when they're getting ready to deploy. If you've attended send-offs, you know, there's a table set up for our service members to come by and get resources before they get on the plane. Most of the time is used with a force of volunteers. At the unit level when they're getting ready to do ceremonies and send off for deployment support.
So is there a big need for volunteers?
Yes, ma'am, there is. Our units, our service members, whether they're training, they're deploying, or they're conducting missions, or they get called up for state active duty, there's always a need to support those efforts in ways that we help. I've seen volunteers help with providing, you know, just short resources. I mean, top of my head, think of a little toiletry kit can go a long way if service members are while they're traveling, while we put them on these long travels to their next destination. It's just that little bit of we're thinking of you. Thank you. Here you go. One of our SFRSs, Ms. Jordan, she partners with a community partner that makes neck pillows. And so when you get, you know, a couple of hundred of those, you know, we have volunteers present helping us distribute those out during send-offs, during departure ceremonies. But then also there's the day-to-day drill activity. We have family days. There's always a need for a volunteer to come in and help us. And as we said before, a volunteer can range from a spouse, a family member, children in the family, a dependents of service members, but then also our communities, within our community, we have veterans, and we have the community themselves that want to do something for the guard or their local armory.
So really all it takes is reaching out. We mentioned Audra Harmon earlier, and we will post that number and those that email. Awards and incentives. Are there awards or, you know, how can we recognize people for their volunteering?
Yes, ma'am. So the volunteer program, especially for South Carolina, our goal is to recruit and retain those volunteers and then reward those volunteers for all the good work that they do, all the hours they spend with the unit on events. And so, yes, there are state-level awards and there are National Guard Bureau awards. And those can range from the Youth Volunteer of the Year to the Family of the Year and even the Community Partner of the Year. They have a community purple program that recognizes those community partners that are doing the same thing with our service with our units and service members as our families do. They're providing resources. They're available when the units are looking at deployment or they're preparing for long extensive training. So we lean on our community partners to help with that. So yes, there are. NGB will send us, when South Carolina's awarded a volunteer award, they will send us a certificate and plaque for those individuals.
Right. So, plus the personal reward of just being able to pitch in and help. I mean, it sounded like Lindsay got a lot out of her experience.
Well, she did, and I think it all ties into, you've got tangible rewards, kind of like that performative patriotism that we talked about versus that real, what you really do get back. And it's beyond an award or an incentive. All those things are nice, but it's what you're getting. You're putting in more, and you're putting into something that is above you and beyond you.
It's priceless. You can't put a price on it.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Dan, I think, is there anything you'd like to leave us with, like one last thought?
One last thought would be we're trying, in family programs, trying to really make it work for the commander. Our family reps partner, mentor, and coach our commanders to establish and influence a volunteer program at the unit level, down to the lowest company. At the company level, rather. My family reps are out there encouraging that the commanders establish a program, be part of the program, influence that volunteers stay and retain, and we recognize the work that the volunteers do for our service members and our units throughout South Carolina.
Yeah, I think that's important. If you're listening today and you feel led to volunteer, or you know someone who wants to volunteer, definitely reach out. I'm hearing a need.
It's a great way to say thank you, yeah, instead of just saying thank you for your service, actually
correct
pitching in.
Yeah. Thank you for being with us today.
Yes. Well, thank you for the invite. I appreciate it.
A lot of
it.
Really good information. We really appreciate you coming.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Airmen and Family Readiness is the state of preparedness of service members and their families through education and support programs that promote self-reliance and enhance individual and family well-being. This is achieved through mutual reinforcement at military family readiness centers, providing programming and events for service members, civilian employees, retirees, and their families, both immediate and extended. We are here with Dr. Nick Thomas, the director of the Airman and Family Readiness for South Carolina Air National Guard. Thank you so much for coming and joining us.
Thank you very much.
We would love to have you tell us about your role and what you do. I know it's all-encompassing, but...
Sure. Yeah, so the one rebrand that I want to address also is that we are now Military and Family Readiness, because one of the best things about our program is we can see basically anybody that's on the installation. So McIntyre here is a joint service base, and so if in... when possible, if a soldier is on the installation and has an immediate need and the Army family rep can't, if they're on vacation or they're not there, I can also take care of some of those administrative things for soldiers as well. So, you know, even from the top down, it's a very purple-centered program, we'd like to say. So very similar to the Army family program, we do a lot of education. And I think the definition that was read off earlier is really, it's spot on as far as the focus of how I like to spend my time, because too many times you can make it through a 20, 25, 30-year career and say, oh, had I had known, mm-hmm, I wish I had known. Mm-hmm. Conversely, if you're a brand new airman or a brand new soldier, you need to know. And so I spend a lot of my time educating on some of the benefits and programs. Typically, I like to say, if you have an issue or a problem, we have a resource or a solution. You just got to text or call me and I can figure it out with you. So a lot of the things that we focus on are financial education. So we can leverage the personal financial counselors within the South Carolina National Guard, but also I went through the Department of War for personal financial counselor class. It's not a certification class, but I can do light budgeting and assisting. So whereas formerly Mr. Contreras, he is like the program director and oversees an entire staff. I do the same thing, but then I'm also the staff.
The person.
Exactly. So I'm planning the courses, and then I'm also the one that teaches them. So wow. I do all of the financial education on the base. I also am the base resume consultant and resume writer. Again, I leverage the South Carolina National Guard education employment services program and all of the programs under that umbrella. But when I can do something in-house, mm-hmm, I personally, as part of my story, know what it felt like to feel like a ping pong ball in the system. Right. So I try to eliminate that as much as possible. So yeah, financial, employment, benefits and services through the VA and other community partners. And then the workshop piece, we also support our deployments. Mm-hmm. So whether it be the pre-deployment phase, during the deployment, we call every family member, check on them, offer services. And then the post-deployment reintegration phase. And finally, the one piece not to, to foreshadow our volunteer talk, but the one piece that has always fallen under family readiness is a lot of our base-wide events. But as the program has morphed and changed over the last 20-something years, the event piece is slowly starting to diminish, and a lot of the education pieces are coming up.
So has the program always been a one-man show?
On the Air National Guard side, yes. It is, like, per the regulations and things, we're authorized two individuals, one being big National Guard funded, one being like a wing or a local fund. So one's like a nice to have, one is the mandatory. So in the air side of the house, it is a one deep position.
So that leads us into the topic. I mean, obviously you're in need of volunteers.
Yes, I am. Need help. Yeah, we do. We need some help. And I think that volunteerism, coming up on our 250th birthday of the nation, is something that is ingrained in all of us. But as smartphones and things, I mean, we're here recording a podcast instead of doing a briefing or something like that. It's like, as technology and the landscape of the workforce and AI just change how we interface with each other, I think it's impacted volunteering. I don't think the spirit of volunteerism is impacted, but, you know, volunteering has been a bit impacted based on people's daily life struggles.
Well, you know, just getting, so we are spread out across the state. I know on the Guard, on the Army side, somewhat for the, well, for the air side as well, you have to pay for gas. I mean, with gas being as expensive as it is and childcare being what it is, it's a little bit harder sometimes to volunteer.
It is. I mean, we, just like the Army side, more so since we are a what we call a one-wing state, meaning we have one footprint for the Air Guard side in our entire state. We have individuals that drill from out of state. We have a lot that drill from like the Charleston area all the way up to the Greenville area, east, west, left, right. We've got members coming from all across the country and our state, and so their families are dispersed. The term that had been utilized in the child and youth or the military kids arena for the last, it was popularized maybe like 15, 20 years ago after the initial like invasion post 9/11 was like the dandelion type of thing where, you know, you blow a dandelion and, you know, military kids and military individuals kind of get scattered in our communities. Right. It's the same way with those that would like to help too.
What are the opportunities for individuals, for groups maybe that want to get involved?
Great. Yeah. So I think individuals, first of all, it can be a spouse or a family member, veteran, retiree, but they've really opened up the definition for volunteerism to where we can even accept anyone. So if you're a supporter of the unit in the community, if you're a business owner in the community, we'd love to have you come down and help out with certain events. And the opportunities are really around events for the most part. Mr. Contreras got into a little bit about like the statutory papered volunteers that have a little bit more presence when it comes to like deployment centric type of thing. But family days are huge. Our family day at McIntyre is amazing. We typically have aircraft and it's a fun time. But as you know, doing an event for like, you know, thousands of people at one time, it's very hard to get that done without volunteers.
It's big, yeah.
And same with all of the things that have not happened. So the family readiness positions were not necessarily always like permanent civilians. They were sometimes additional duties. Sometimes they were contractors. And so, you know, you've got this ebb and flow of how active the base is with family readiness. And so when I come up with something like, let's do an Easter egg hunt or let's do a Halloween trick or treat or let's anything that we can think of that would put a value add, it's also me coming up with the idea and then me doing it. So anything like that, if we want to add to our plate, volunteers are central to that.
Right. What is there any training that is involved in becoming a volunteer, or is it just a matter of saying, hey, I want to show up and I want to man that booth from, you know, whatever time to whatever time?
There is. So you've got kind of two different tracks of volunteers. So we can do your day of volunteer where you can say, hey, for family day, I'd like to come run the t-shirt table, right? As long as you have base access and we don't necessarily have to do the paperwork to sponsor you on base. So if you're already a spouse or a retiree or a veteran or even a military member on the Army side can come volunteer on the air if they wanted to, right. You could come in and just get the training for the day on how to help. But then if you wanted to pursue longer term volunteer, we have Ms. Dawson, who is our long term key support liaison, which is our former key spouse program, is what the Air Force calls it. She has had extensive training through Military OneSource and Mil Events. They have an entire like training library that you can do like an introduction to the military, how to help in natural disasters, how to help do deployment calls to help me bolster my calling program. So I think one of the best kept secrets of the program is it's as much or as little as you can contribute. So many hands like might make light work. And if you wanted to come for one day a year and that's your jam, we'd love to have you. If you want to kick around a couple times a month and be more permanent, we'd love to have you too.
Who do they reach out to if they want to start volunteering?
Sure. So I would say the easiest person to reach out to would be directly to me because I do all the onboarding and managing the training and pointing people in the right direction. My desk line is 803-649-8089. And you could also submit a form on our public affairs website, on the SCANG website. We have a public affairs form. Mm-hmm. You could also just like send in a note to public affairs and then they'll route it to me.
What about awards?
Oh, awards and recognition. And I will highlight that in addition to the National Guard awards that they hand down for volunteering and some local awards that our wing leadership can generate, I think one of the best kept secrets of volunteering is it can improve your resume. So most people forget that you can put volunteerism on a resume, especially if you're transitioning between career fields where, you know, let's say you wanted to become an HR administrator, but you've worked it as a diesel mechanic. It's like, oh, how do I parlay that, right? So first of all, if you're eligible for family readiness services, come see me. We'll put that resume together. But volunteering is a great way to expand your resume and fill gaps. Right. I know a lot of your listeners may be welcoming new kids into the world and their, you know, stay-at-home mom situations or other things that might cause gaps in order to support their service member.
Right.
And like if you have a gap in your resume and you'd like to fill it, volunteerism is a fantastic way, especially also if you're just looking for a job and it's taking longer than normal, because that's what we've seen as trends recently. Jumping and doing volunteering is a great way to bolster your resume.
A great idea. And you had mentioned earlier something about reaching out to the local college.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, like pie in the sky thing, right? As far as trying to figure out ways to encourage more volunteerism. I do know there's a lot of college programs out there that require like hours for their program. I was a former teacher, right? So I had to do teaching hours in a public school setting. But other programs might be, you know, that you have to do volunteerism as part of the program. I know some high schools require volunteer hours. Not everything that we do requires a security clearance and a lot of access, right? There are ways that you can volunteer with family readiness that you could use towards your education. And I personally would have no problem writing up a memorandum for a school or an institution if we had any military dependents that need volunteerism and things like that nature.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That would be great for our sons and daughters who are at USC or wherever, who needed those volunteer hours. Mm-hmm. That something they could potentially put that bug, parents, in your child's ear.
Now, what about other awards? Do you track the hours that people volunteer? Do they actually get tangible awards besides just the personal?
Yeah, we do. So I will say that on the air side of the house, it is like a building process. So I wouldn't say I'm like a new hire. I got started in 2024. So it's been about 2 years. I'm like mid going.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of like about a decade of family readiness experience in other state National Guard programs, but I was hired in South Carolina about 2 years ago. So I'm still very much in that rebuilding phase. But one of the best parts about it is I've had an airman come on orders to help bolster my office, and that freed up some time. And what I've done for my volunteers is created a QR code that you can scan or have on your phone to log your hours so you don't forget. That generates a report for me, and I plug it into the computer system to capture those hours. The other cool thing that I still am designing and I'm exploring, and I don't want to put all my secrets out there, but the Air Force guidance does authorize a coin for volunteering and helping around. So like more to come on that as I design it.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Those coins are so popular.
They are popular. They're very popular. I'm hoping that like the one I designed looks really great and is hard to get. So,
okay. You know,
limited edition type item. But Yeah, so you've got your award structures more formalized NGB and Air Force awards for volunteering. Then you have your commander level certificates that we can generate. And then again, like volunteering hours, I can write memorandums for that. Your resume, I have no problem writing job recommendations, especially if you volunteer within our office and you do a great job and you're on the job hunt. I have no problem throwing a little bit of my weight behind that to help you get a job. So.
That's really nice.
No, that would be appreciated. Mm-hmm. Is there a question that we're not asking that we should?
Yeah.
Is there something you would like for people to hear?
I think that the biggest message that I have, not only for uniformed listeners, but all family listeners, is that no one is alone in this fight of military service and balancing your work-life balance. I like to champion the work-life blend, not a balance. I wake up every single day. I get to go to the job that I have, and I'm very grateful and fortunate for that, and I'm passionate about it. So for me, it makes it feel like I don't really work like a job because I enjoy what I do so much. I know that that's not the case for everybody, and so when military service gets hard or gets in the way, that's the time to lean on each other. And I feel like from supervisors from the topest ranks all the way down, know your people, learn your people, and make it feel that you are accessible so that other families can lean on other families. I think that in the modern day, we've lost some of those like smaller spouse and family networks that we had in the early 2000s and like where technology wasn't as prevalent. Part of me understands that we might not get back to that just due to the pace of technology and the pace of like the changing battle space and things, but part of me wants to see some of that come back, right? Where you get to actually hang out with the people that you work with beyond duty hours, and we can kind of rebuild those connections. But I think a lot of that starts at the unit level, on the Army side, at the company level, Air Force side, squadron level, where you kind of bake in some of those experiences because they're not going to happen organically.
Right. You know, and that speaks to, we've said it time and time again, the podcast grew out of a lack of connection, so to speak, and it's a new world kind of way to foster connectivity or being connected with people. And but in doing this podcast, it's put us in touch, like physical touch, seeing people one-on-one that has fostered and returned back to us so many more benefits.
Oh, yeah.
So I get exactly what you're saying. Fostering in-person connectedness is so important, and volunteering is a way to achieve that.
Yeah. I can remember, like, my military service was with the Connecticut National Guard, and that was, like, the 2013 time frame, which is kind of scary to say because I would say that I like to think that I'm still on the younger side of things, but also that was, like, 13 something. Yeah, right? Like, that's a little scary to think about how long that was ago. But you'd still have like cookouts at the unit. And like I would, as a brand new soldier to the unit, it was at the time weird to see kids running around after like towards the end of drill. It'd be like 3:30, 4 o'clock. And then you'd see like some kid bolt across the armory. And I think I just wasn't a parent at the time. And I was young and I didn't understand the culture. But I would love to start to see like more of that again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And volunteering is some way to start that out.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, it's been wonderful having you.
It's been
really
a blast.
Appreciate you coming and sharing your knowledge and your time because you are so short on that, having to do the job all by yourself. But it's been really good to accentuate how much we need volunteers, not only just for yourself, but for the whole base.
Yeah, and I am proud to say that South Carolina is like a one team, one fight situation. So while like it feels mechanically I am by myself, I know that Audra or Mr. Contreras or any of the other individuals are literally a text or a phone call away, and they would be right there just as in return. If they had something going on, if I could drop what I'm doing, I'd rush over here to help them out. So I think that that's one of the really great aspects of the family programs world. We are truly purple, and if we're helping a military family, a military kid, or a service member, I think we all kind of get it. We're going to drop what we can and get it done. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Back to patriotism. That's what it's all about. Everybody pitching in. So plenty of opportunities on the air side and the Army side.
Mm-hmm. So. And if you heard something that you would like to be a part of, we encourage you to reach out to Nick or to, we mentioned Aldra at the on the Army side, and get involved, or at least just inquire about the opportunities available for yourself or for someone else who might be interested. And again, in case you missed the contact names, we'll post those at the end of the podcast. Finally, if you enjoyed today's podcast, we'd love for you to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform. You can hear us on almost all of the podcast platforms with the exception of Spotify. Even better, share this with another military family. Our next episode is titled Fresh Starts and First Days, Military Life Meets the New School Year, where we'll discuss the realities of military families settling into a new school year and possibly a new community. And as always, thank you for listening to Family Guidons from the Bluff Road Readiness Center in Columbia, South Carolina, to wherever you may be. Until next time.